Everybody gets on a plane at some point, and everybody has that little moment of doubt. Am I going to make it through this? You're completely giving over all control, and you're just trusting that everything has gone right with all of the mechanics, and everything has gone right with the personnel that are flying and working control and everything else. And it's I think it just kind of, it wakes up the imagination a little bit.
You play the character of Helene. Tell us a little bit about her and her role in the film.
Sure. She's an American-born but has lived in France for portions of her life, journalist, and she went to school with the lead woman in the film. And they're not exactly the same age, but they became very, very close. So they're like sisters. And Nicola, the other woman, she is deathly afraid of flying. And we know that's somewhat irrational. Flying is one of the safest modes of transportation.
Commercial flights.
Yeah. Commercial flights, yes, yes. So she's going to come visit me in France, and she chickens out again.
Hi.
What happened? Martin was waiting for you at the hotel.
I'm sorry. I made a special dinner.
I know. I'm really sorry. I'm a total flake.
You're not a flake.
I'm a terrible person.
I think Martin's back.
Let me apologize.
I'm here.
Martin?
So glad you are okay. No one at the hotel knew anything.
Oh. I'm sorry. I almost made it this time. Really?
Well, if you're not coming to Paris, I'm going to go to Buenos Aires.
What?
Oh, just a friend's wedding I wasn't going to make this weekend. Martin has a bunch of free Air Paris miles burning a hole in his wallet.
Buenos Aires, she has a weakness for Latin lovers.
Ha. Mm. Huh.
And so I end up taking a trip, and on my way back, something happens to the plane. It disappears. And this is a frightening thing that we are all familiar with. You know, we're listening to the news and we hear that a plane has disappeared, and it's terrifying. And they can't find it. They don't know what's happened to it. So I am sort of MIA, as is the plane.
The detective work and the investigative reporting that's done seems to be also a film about exploring one's own weaknesses, digging away at a sensitive spot.
I think so. The lead character, Nicola, she's a really interesting, capable woman, and I think she surprises herself by how capable she is. And she uncovers a lot of stuff, and the further she gets into it, the more she knows that this is a really important piece of her life work, and that she can actually make a difference in the world by pursuing it. So she does become obsessed. I think it starts with this deep love that she has for her friend / adopted sister, and continues on from there. And she finds her voice and she finds her conviction.
There is satellite transmission to maintenance when equipment fails, but no one from maintenance informed operations because I guess they assumed the plane was still in the air.
No Mayday call?
It was nearly 6 hours before Air Paris even realized the flight was missing. Until the plane is found, it is essentially impossible for the families to get a judgment of any kind against anyone, including European regulators.
There are incidents going back like 8 years, and the authorities never said boo.
Nicola, at a conference with Atlas and Air Paris, just a few months before the Flight 399 crash, regulators saw no need to ground the fleet. Their only directive was that the airline could proceed at their own pace in swapping out the pitots.
Sure, then Air Paris, Atlas, the subcontractors can just shift blame from their negligent maintenance to the deceased pilots who must have screwed up.
Kind of interesting too, the airline industry, although as you pointed out, it's the commercial airline industry is one of the most safe ways to travel in the world. Because of that, it is also one of the most highly regulated and bureaucratic.
Yes.
So there's lots of paper to form
That's
a trail.
Right. That's right. It's a fine balancing act, because oh, do we need that regulation? You know, that really keeps us safe. But at the same time, once you get all of those systems in place, it can be very, very difficult to move that large bureaucracy when somebody finds that it needs to be moved.
Pitot tubes measure airspeed on all planes. They are as critical to aviation as the landing gear. But when pitots fail, autopilot can't calculate the aircraft's speed. So the pilot has to fly manually, but get this, he has to do so without knowing how fast the plane is actually going.
Scary.
And it gets worse. It's like 1 minute you have all of the information you need, and the next minute you just don't. So already in my research, I've uncovered at least half a dozen crashes that can be attributed to failed pitots. In just the past few years, 16 Air Paris planes and dozens of identical Atlas jets operated by other carriers have lost critical information on airspeed when pitots fail.
This could get pretty dicey. We'll have to check with legal.
They're not going to like it.
And then there is the question of who's going to raise their hand and say, this has to be done and it has to be done like this. This is the proper thing to do to keep people more safe. Now, that person is liable if anything goes wrong and it turns out that they were not correct. That person has all of that personal liability for industry, for people's lives. I think everybody in the industry is aware of what the stakes are. And they're high. They're high in human life, and they're also high in business and, you know, health of economies.
Public confidence requires that the planes take off.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's very topical.
It sure is. We wish it weren't.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. One of the things that Roger Rappaport, the producer, did not anticipate was a couple things. How strongly both pilots associations, training facilities for pilots around the world wanted a film like this. They have embraced it. This film is now shown to pilots and prospective pilots for training purposes. So he's actually been able to do quite a lot of good having made this film, which I think is really exciting when you get something so right that the industry that you've made the film about is actually using your film. That's very exciting.
That is.
He is somebody who is really fascinated by how strange the truth can be. Yeah. So he revels in all of those details and all of the complexities of how things are tied together and work together and are at odds and also can then move forward. So he's remained involved in sort of connecting dots for people, which is exciting.
How does the film balance the dot connection and the minutia and complexity of reality with the need to tell a story, a dramatic mm-hmm. story?
Right. He's taken license with the fictional, personal story, very much me included, my character included. All of the aviation stuff, that's all kind of straight up. That's sort of the balance you want in a sort of historical fiction type thing.
How does he use that to develop the story, though, without it becoming burdensome?
I think one of the most fascinating things about this story and about this film is the particulars of the aviation industry. That is so fascinating to me. And the personal side of it just kind of hooks us in with our emotions on a different level. You know, there's this cerebral fascination, and then there's this sort of this heart pull. Those of us who are lucky not to have lost anybody in a tragic accident, I think we're all aware that we are the lucky ones. You know, it's a really hard thing to watch loved ones go places that we can't help them. We have no control over their well-being. It really is difficult and easy to empathize with people that have lost somebody. But there's also, he does take some license and he pulls some surprises and he uses those surprises to create some mystery and some payoff, some bang. He's very clever about it.
How was Mr. Rappaport to work with?
He's fantastic. He's incredibly, incredibly collaborative. He's an indie filmmaker, and he gets incredible people to work on his films, award-winning people in the industry, and he does it by capturing their imagination with his story, and then also saying, why don't you get your fingers a little deeper into this pie? You know, you're used to doing this part of the industry. Why don't you also kind of get your fingers in this area over here? So it's sort of enticing to people, and you just he has an infectious enthusiasm, and there's a certain thing about him where he just doesn't hear the word no very well, which I think is ultimately how he is able to make these films. You know, I'll get an email or a phone call saying, I got my hands on a flight simulator. And you think, what? You can't do that. I've got a jet, you know. And it's so he's just finds a way to get people on board with what his mission is.
Neat. Is there a particular scene that you're in that we should talk about?
I think that's a spoiler. I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
I know that's really hard. All I can say is I play a really fun, lovely role, and I'm so thankful being somebody who primarily does stage in her career. I don't live in an area where a lot of television and film gets done. So it's really kind of been a blessing to me to be handed, you know, really a lovely role in this film that's exciting, integral, smart, and lets me sort of exercise different muscles than I use most of the time in my career.
What muscle was different?
Well, I often work in pretty large theaters. On average, I would say, you know, a 700-seat theater on average. And there is a certain amount of acting work that I do that doesn't just stay in my mind. I'm a very physical actor, so it emanates through my body. But I also, and I'm always very aware that I can be standing with my back to you and you're in the first or the second balcony and you need to be able to hear every word that I'm saying. You need to know what's going on with me even though my back is to you. So expression becomes a more thoroughly, it bounces through all the cells in my body so that it can sort of become expressive in a way that works in a 360 degree realm. Whereas with film, really your job is to think the thoughts. Period. Doing away with some of the largeness, some of the modes of expression that are so very vital and helpful on the stage are not helpful in film necessarily. And at the same time, you don't want to have a diminished performance. You want to play it full out.
But you want to be nuanced.
But you want to.
And for the camera.
And for the camera. So you're thinking the thoughts and you're going to play something fully, but the mode of expression is different. I look at it as a balancing. Working on film, I completely believe, makes you a better stage actor, just as working on the stage will make you a better film actor. There, if you can exercise all of those muscles continually, great, more power to you, because you do have to make sure you are being that specific that it's only going to be read in your eyes. I do a lot of Shakespeare, and the beginning of my career, I pretty much did nothing but Shakespeare and Shaw, language-based plays. And it was a big deal for me to start doing contemporary plays. Even if they're well written, you don't have the structure of the language to lean on the way you do in a Shakespeare.
But the rhythms of conversation are there. They're just different.
They are. They're very different, but they can also be very sparse. And when you get into contemporary work, there's a level of characterization you have to come up with that you might have to make up more of it to find that perfect, compelling character that is just the right instrument within the larger scope of the orchestra. That was something that I had to cross eventually.
There's more scope for use of silence.
There is that too, absolutely, yes. And with contemporary, you know, you can get really good at doing Shakespeare. There's not one contemporary voice. There are thousands of contemporary voices, and each one wants to be treated differently. So it's that's part of the questions that you ask yourself is, what, how does this playwright communicate? What is their voice? So what should my voice be within that for this particular character?
Deb Staples is a leading actress in the movie Pilot Error, being screened at the Normal Public Library. She's also Hamlet in Hamlet at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.